The Lord does have a work to do, and He wants to make us into that vessel that can accomplish the work that needs to be done. I did not come with a message tonight, but I'm going to preach a micro mini message for you tonight. In 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. Sunday night, I told you that I shan't be long, and I fooled you, I wasn't. So with your confidence built, we'll try it again tonight. This might be a start of a new day, who knows? 2 Kings chapter 6. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto the Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them. And when they came to the Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick, and he cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore he said, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it. Now, first of all, let's look at the natural circumstance and see what it was. The school of the prophets had been started by Samuel, who was the high priest and prophet and judge of Israel. After the days of Samuel, Elijah the prophet took over the school of the prophet as the college president. He was the one who was in charge of the school of the prophets, teaching these young men, preparing them for the ministry of a prophet of God in Israel, so that God might choose among them those that would be prophets in the land, and they might be those who would help keep the people in holiness and in the law and the word of God, and keeping them from sin and protect the nation. Elijah had been caught up to God, and at this time, Elisha was chosen from among the school of the prophets to take Elijah's place. And Elisha now is the head of the school of the prophets. And they were dwelling, which is an unfortunate translation because that makes you think of a house, but the Hebrew actually is the place where we sit before thee, or sitting before thee. At those times, the students sat on the floor, and the instructor stood as they sat upon the floor, or as they sat upon benches, as the case may be. And they were learning of him. And they said the place is too straight, meaning it was becoming too crowded. Now, if you look at chapter 4, you'll see that they had 100 Bible college students, 100 school students in the school of the prophets. Chapter 4 will also tell you that some were married and some were single. It will tell you that some were married, that is. So the situation is like it is in all Bible college. Some were married, and they were growing, they were increasing, until they had to have a building program. And in fact, it wasn't convenient to add on, and they wanted to build a new school down in the Jordan Valley where the river flowed, where the descender was. No, Jordan means the descender. Speaking of the experience of the Holy Spirit, they wanted to be down there where the descender was. And in that place, it also means death. It has both connotations. But anyway, at that time, they were going to build a new structure. Now, one of the Bible college students said to Elisha, We want you to come with us. We would like your help and direction and so forth in the building of this place. And so he said, I will go. And he went with him down there. Now, one had was chopping a tree down to use the lumber. And as he was chopping it, the axe head flew off of the handle into the water. And he was greatly perturbed. And he said, as it is in the Hebrew, Ah, ah, what shall I do? For it was asked, it was sought after. I have begged this. I have told the person that I would make sure they got it back. Now, in those days, you could not go down to the local hardware store and say, one axe head, please. It was very difficult to get iron that was smelted by primitive methods and beat and pounded into a sharp axe head. And these were Bible school students. They were poor as church mice. You know how that goes. And so he had to go out and he sought this axe. The Hebrew has the connotation of I really had to really seek to get this axe head for a loan. Now, you be careful with it. Don't you hit any rocks or get a bun up. Make sure I get it back. And I'll promise you, you don't have to worry. I guarantee you. And now it had flown off and into the Jordan. Now, if it was right near the shore and they could see it, the man could have swam down after it and got it. But this apparently was the time of the overflowing of Jordan, when the Mount Hermon and all the other mountains and that had the tributaries to the Jordan, when the snows were melting, waters were rushing down into the Jordan, and the Jordan became, it overflowed its banks, and it became exceedingly muddy until you could not see in it. And it was deep, and it was just cutting out mud as it was going. It really became a torrent. And the Jordan became such at that season that people did not cross it. They went clear up to the Sea of Galilee and crossed way up there and came clear back down south if they wanted to go to Judah because of the torrent at that time of year. Now, he came to his master. He didn't know what else to do. And he said, Master, he said, alas, 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 as the Dewey Version renders it, it was asked, what shall I do? I'm in trouble. And he said, well, where did it fall? Now, really, what difference did it make where it fell? I mean, if the man knew where it was, they could get it. If it was clear enough, you could open your eyes underwater and it was nice, clear water and it wasn't too deep and rough, he could have gotten it. He wouldn't have had to go ask him. It wasn't that he was swimming champ that year. And he showed him the place. How did he do that? All he could do is point his finger and say, over there, it hit about, 25 feet out over there. Right in there it hit. But he couldn't see it. And so Elijah went to a tree and he cut a branch off of this tree. Now, he did not do what a lot of people think he did. A lot of people take this text to mean, and the English is obscured, the Hebrew does give you much more, in this case, the Hebrew does give you much more idea of what really happened than the English does. Most people have the idea he took the piece of wood and he just kind of threw it in the water and the axe head swam, the scripture says. The axe head was just, the end became like a fish's tail and went, and he reached down and he took it up. And God caused an axe head to swim, see. And then he put it back in his head. But that isn't what happened, not according to the Hebrew. According to the Hebrew, he says that, and he cast it in thither. The Hebrew is he cast it in there. Not just cast it in the water, he cast it in there. Where is there? He cast it in there, where the axe head fell. And now, I submit that you take an axe head and throw it off into a muddy torrent of a river, and then go tell somebody else where it fell, and let him cut down a branch. And what he did is he cut this branch so that the head was tapered, so it would fit that axe head. It'd be a wedge. It would go in that hole. So it would wedge tight and cause it to float to the surface.
And he had a big pole. It had to be pretty heavy. It had to go out there a little ways. Couldn't be right by his feet. He could have gotten it. Now, it's going to take a good, powerful throw. And the wood tends to float. And it wants to back out again. Besides, how do you know which way the hole is tipped? And how do you know exactly where the axe head is? And how do you cast it through water at the right angle with the right force to hit the hole? I think that if God would give him longevity of time, he'd still be throwing today, trying to hit it in the natural. But what he did is say, in effect, Lord, this is important. This man's testimony is at stake. He has promised this person that he returned the axe head. It's a very valuable item to them. A man's going to need it for his livelihood. He will not be able to easily get another. And now this Bible college student is in trouble. We need your help. Now, he did not just kneel down beside the river and say, now, Lord God, cause it to jump up. Come on, axe head, come on. You know, Lord, just cause it to bounce up on the shore. He didn't do that. I mean, usually God doesn't work that way for us either. You know, we say, Lord, but send us in money. They just go and pile up on the floor. Very seldom does God do that. Very seldom. And you go off of a little bluff and you say, and you cry to the Lord to help you. Very seldom he stops the car in midair and backs it up to the shore, to the Lord. Very seldom these things happen. But so what he did was attempt to use all the human ability he had. That's all he could do. And so it was heavy and silt and water, and you couldn't open your eyes in it, and it was swift and rough, rugged. So he brought a pole to try to, and it says he cast it in. He tried to get that. But the mathematical probabilities was exceedingly small. Therefore, God had to make up the difference between what he could do and what was needed for the task. Now, you see, God often calls us to bigger tasks than we're able to do without him. Without him. But he doesn't expect us to go without him. Therefore, the task is not too big for us and God. Now, God can do it alone, but he usually uses man to do it. Therefore, he relied on God to give him the exact angle of throw to put the necessary force behind the pole, and if necessary, to cause a little wave to come and to flip that axe head over at the right angle and line it up with the pole. And that's what happened. Now, when it says the iron did swim, the Hebrew says, it causeth the iron to swim. Something was the cause of it. The pole was, according to Young's Literal Translation. New World says he made the axe head float. And Whedon says the same. Made the iron to swim, Darby, stick. And the Hebrew is meaning to be a cause of it taking that action. Now, the swim is an English term. It means be on top of the water, not really swim, not stroke, but just be on top of the water. And then it says he should take it up to thee. The Hebrew is raise it to thee. Raise it to thee. See, on the end of a pole. Lift it up for yourself, New World says. Now, let's look at this typologically. In the spiritual realm, we can say the lesson before us is that we have catastrophes and crises in life. And we are not always able, in our own strength, to overcome the crisis and find the solution. We have to go to the man of God. I submit that God uses men who know his will and his revelation. I also submit that Jesus is the man of God. And that we go to him, and he uses human means to resurrect what was lost from us and restore it to us. But he is the power behind it. But now I want to get into the typological meaning here, because there is a typological meaning that is deeper than just this spiritual application. First of all,
they were building a house of God. Now, we are the house of God, people. In a stone house, we are lively stones in that temple. But this was a wood house. So each log is a human being who is a member of that house of God. They were in a rough condition before they cut down, faced and lengthened and planed off and made the right size to fit one with another, each one all together making the house of God that God may teach them there and dwell there. Now, Elisha can be either a type of the Holy Spirit minister and pastor or whatever, and Bible college teacher, president or whatever, also of Jesus Christ, who is the man of God, the perfect man of God. And we are also sons of God, but he is the perfect son of God or the man of God. Now, in building this, they are cutting down wood, which represents individuals, and then shaping the individuals in the shape they should be for the house of God, for God to teach and dwell in. Which means the axe head is the what does the work to shape the saints. Which means the axe head is a type of the ministry and all that's involved in it. The gifts, the anointing, the ministry, all that's involved in that. Because it is the ministry with the anointing and the gifts and all of that that God is using to take people out of the rough and shape them into what they should be and join them one to another to build the house of God that he may dwell there and he may teach them while they're on this earth. For the law was the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And this is the structure. We are the structure. Now, the handle of the axe represents this particular Bible college student. Now, in the scriptures, typologically, if you've studied the tabernacle, you know that wood is a type of humanity, which grows out of the ground. And when it's overlaid with gold, gold is a type of deity. Wood is a type of humanity. Now, this individual had a ministry, and he lost his ministry. While he was working for souls, he lost his ministry. Now, why did he lose his ministry? What happened? Why would they ever design an axe head, a handle too small for the axe head? They didn't. When it was designed by the Lord, when the Lord shaped this particular student, he shaped him to fit the ministry. They fit. They were snug together. But the axe handle had shrunk. Why? It got dried out. And as it dried out, and the moisture went out of it, it shrunk. And as it shrunk, it no longer fit the ministry. Now, nothing wrong with the ministry, but he shrunk back from the ministry. He therefore lost the ministry because he no longer fit the ministry. Now, for the solution, he went to the man of God, and he said, Master, Jesus, I've lost my ministry. I shrunk back. I got so busy having babies that I have lost my music ministry, that I have lost my Sunday school ministry, that I have lost my witness ministry, that I have lost my park ministry, campus ministry, whatever kind of ministry it might be, because I just shriveled up. I dried up. I no longer was keeping moist. And so my ministry is gone, and I can't seem to get it back. I don't know how to get it again. So I come to you because you know more, Master. And so he took a human being. He took a person to help. He needed to take a person to help. And he shaped this one. He helped this one have the ability to regather that ministry for him. But it took the energy of God and the direction of God in order to restore that ministry again. Without God, it would not have been done. But God did use human means. And through human means, coupled with the energy of God, The Lord Jesus Christ also, as a human being, as a he was a human as well as God, and all, he might use one of us, but also he used Christ even back in the beginning. He used him, and he's still working for us. Did you know that? By his stripes you were healed, the scripture says. It's been accomplished. He already did something. He already was that cut down pole that went into your ministry and pulled it to the surface that you could bring it back into yourself. And therefore, he was able to take his ministry back to himself again. There are individuals within this congregation that have started out for God, and you and your ministry fit. And God designed it that way, but through sins of the flesh, or becoming discouraged, or getting too caught up in the mundane world, or in family life, or whatever it might be, or not keeping your grades up in school and studying, you became discouraged, whatever, and you backed out of your ministry. You dried up a bit, and you lost the ministry. And you cannot get it back unless you go to the Master and say, "Alas, I've lost my ministry. What am I going to do? I've got to have this talent and ministry and gift and anointing of God." And trust him, that one who was cut down. You know, remember back at the bitter Moah, when the waters were too bitter to drink? They cut down a branch and they cast it in, and the waters became sweet. Well, that wood they cast in was typical of Christ, who was cut down also, and who cut out of the land of the living, and it made the water sweet so they could drink through of it. And so we come to him, and he can restore that if you'll come to him. And then he would take you, and he would cause you to be refreshed again, that you might swell up and fit that ministry. He might even have to put a little wedge in there. And so I just quickly went tonight, saw this passage, and I wanted to bring it to you to teach that if you've lost out with that preciousness in the Lord, you may have had an intercessory prayer ministry. You've lost out on something. And you're going on and you're not finding it. You know, there's great hope in Jesus. You can come to him. He can help restore all that has been lost. Even though it's down in the mud at the bottom, he can put it back on the handle again. We bring it back to you. Would you stand, please? I would like every head bowed for just a moment. If it seems like I'm very tired tonight, it's only because that I am. But I'll get a good night's rest, and I'll be better tomorrow, and I'll be headed for vacation soon. A little bit after I get a chance to, it's a work vacation. I'm going to work in vacation both. Got a little ministry to do first. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for those tonight that are in this assembly that have lost the anointing or the ministry or the direction, O Lord, for carving out souls. Once they witnessed and they were bringing down souls out of the rough. Once they were teaching and they were shaping them. Once, Lord, they were out working for you and singing and testifying and preaching and teaching and all the other things that are involved in ministries. But, Lord, they've allowed themselves to become dry, not purposely and perceptibly, but the cares of life, by circumstances, by difficulties, by normal situations. But they would like a restoration of the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry of God and all of that which God uses to rebuild and to build the kingdom of God. And I pray tonight, Lord, that as they would seek you, that you'd restore to them a ministry of souls that they kill. And I would like to ask right now, while every head is bowed just a moment, every eye closed, how many would say by upraised hand, "Pastor, you're talking to me tonight. I have lost my ministry, and I, not for myself, but I want to be useful to God. I want to be busy for God. I want to know that God is using me. I want to do something for the kingdom's sake. I want to help Jesus. I want to help souls, and I don't know how to get my ministry back in myself. I just need God's help tonight." Would you raise your hand? I pray for each one of you. Keep your hand up, please. There's a number of hands. all across the assembly, a number of hands. I want everyone to join me tonight. I want you to have your hands raised to do two things. First, I want you to go to the Master in prayer tonight and say, Lord, I've lost my ministry. Please help me get it back. Secondly, I want you to put all the human activity you can into it as you're led by God. In other words, you go to Don Lockram. You go and say, Don, how can I get, what ministries are available? You go to the Sunday school superintendent and say, you know, I've lost my ministry, but I feel that God would have me to have it. Can you use me? Do I fit the ministry? Can I be made to fit it? You go wherever is necessary. You do whatever you can, and then you trust the Lord and seek to get reinstated into a work of God. It may not even be the same one. He may have another one for you. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus for those that have their hands raised or raising it in faith and obedience, saying, Lord, I ask you to put yourself to my ministry that's lost and raise it to me, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that I might be made to fit that ministry again. And Lord, that you might tip that ministry to be inclined toward me, that I might come back into it again. Lord, I just pray in the name of Jesus that you will give them a renewed vision, that you will begin to stir them for this ministry. They'll begin to pray, not only tonight, but keep seeking and keep knocking and keep asking, and they shall be receiving of that ministry, that very heart that they had will be restored. And as they begin to pray for it, they'll begin to get excited about it again. They'll begin to be recommitted for it. And, oh Lord, they'll begin to be energized for it. And you'll cause it to come to pass. In the name of Jesus, we pray that we each one might have the ministry that you want us to have. For, Lord, you said to pray that we may thrust our souls into the vineyard. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, and believe that you'll find each one their ministry. In the name of Jesus, as they put themselves to seeking it, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as music ministry closes in prayer tonight, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you're invited to come down to the altar here. If you want to hide away and pray, wait upon God. The prayer room is open. And you're dismissed after the first chorus. May the Lord bless you.